Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review, and also welcome to 2026. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites feastofmusic.com and onthisday.com. Question number one. What percent of U.S. orchestras have women music directors? Is it A, about 10%? Is it B, about 33%? Is it C, just over 50%? Or is it D, almost 70%? U.S. orchestras with women music directors. What is that percent anyway? And question number two, what is the last song that the Beatles recorded together? Was it A, Come Together? Was it B, I, Me, Mine? Was it C, Let It Be? Or was it D, Hey Jude? The last song the Beatles recorded together. What was that tune anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of January the 2nd, 2026. Well, it was on this very day back in 1950 that RCA Victor announced it would manufacture long-playing records. The LP, born today, back in 1950. And it was 42 years ago today, 1983, that the musical Annie closed on Broadway at the Eurus Theater after 2,377 performances. 1983, today.
It's so damn easy to say that life's so hard. Everybody's got their share of battle scars. As for me, I'd like to thank my lucky stars that I'm alive and well.
Willie Nelson's I'm Alive introduces our country music news. It's titled, Willie Nelson, who turned 92 this year, says he's feeling lucky. An AI overview provides these details. Touring and festivals, Outlaw Music Festival. Nelson headlined the 2025 Outlaw Music Festival, a 36-date tour with Bob Dylan and other artists like Billy Strings, the Avett Brothers, kicking off in May of 2025. Future plans include, well, speculation in posts from late 2025 suggest a potential, quote-unquote, one last ride tour for 2026, marking a final farewell to the road for the icon. 4th of July picnic. He continued his annual tradition, hosting the event with fellow musicians. New music and projects. Well, he's got a new album. Released his 154th studio album, Oh, What a Beautiful World, around his 92nd birthday. Outlaw Music Channel. He launched his own streaming channel featuring vintage country music and Native American culture. Documentary. He also released King of the Roadies, a documentary about longtime roadie Ben Dorsey. His philosophy at age 92, Willie remains active, enjoying his life and work, often with his signature band and guitar, Trigger. He attributes his longevity and continued touring to the philosophy of imagining what he wants to do and letting it happen, alongside a healthy lifestyle with protein shakes and occasional tequila.
Can't you see? Today is the first day of the rest of my life, and I'm alive and well. Yeah, I'm alive and well.
And in classical music news, we have this article titled, Essential Hardware for Enjoying Classical Music on Vinyl. This is published in WCPE's Quarter Notes, Winter 2025-2026. If you've ever wanted to experience the depth and warmth of classical music as it was meant to be heard, there's never been a better time to start. Getting set up to listen to vinyl has become surprisingly simple, and the results, especially for orchestral and acoustic recordings, can be stunning. Here's what you'll need and what makes each piece of hardware matter. And that first piece of hardware mentioned is the turntable. Every vinyl journal begins with the turntable, and modern options make it easier than ever to achieve great sound. You'll want a turntable that spins records at a stable speed, so every sustained violin note or piano chord rings true. Today's well-built models are also quieter, keeping rumble out of peaceful passages. A good tone arm and stylus help track grooves accurately. With steady rotation, smooth tracking, and minimal noise, you'll easily hear every nuance in your favorite symphonies. Then there's the phono preamp. A phono preamp might be small, but it's essential, and most turntables now include one. It amplifies the delicate cartridge signal and applies the right equalization. For classical music, a clean, low-noise preamp preserves every detail, from the softest flute to the lowest cello. Because classical recordings swing from near silence to huge crescendos, you'll want one that keeps quiet passages clear and loud moments balanced. Then there's the amplifier. Your amplifier brings the music to life, powering your speakers or headphones. Classical music demands both clarity and headroom, and even modest amps now provide both. Clarity assures that when strings and brass play together, each retains its character. Headroom lets the amp handle powerful bursts, like Tchaikovsky's cannons, without distortion. Speakers. Speakers are where the magic happens, and classical music rewards quality design with breathtaking realism. Today's speakers make high-fidelity sound more accessible than ever. Look for accuracy across all frequencies, from organ rumble to triangle sparkle. With proper placement, even modest speakers can handle classical music's vast dynamics and recreate that concert hall atmosphere right at home. Headphones. Headphones aren't required, but they are a wonderful way to enjoy classical vinyl, especially late at night. A good pair reveals every nuance: the hush before a soprano entrance, the resonance of a piano's final chord. Open-back models offer a spacious soundstage, while closed-back models keep things private and immersive. Either way, modern headphones make it easy to capture all the subtle emotion of a live performance, even at low volume. Conclusion. Vinyl and classical music have always been a perfect match, but what's new is how simple it is to get that experience for yourself. Modern gear is more reliable, quieter, and easier to set up than ever. Vinyl's warmth and dynamic range bring out the soul of classical music, and setting up to enjoy it has never been easier. The Bee Gees Stayin' Alive introduces our music research and technology. It's titled, The One Change That Worked. I was trembling with anxiety when I found a fun, free way to get calm. I can't dance, not even a little bit, but the terrible moves my friends mock are an antidote to the racing heart and quivering breath that arrive in my most anxious moments. This is published in The Guardian, Olivia Patter, 11/24/2025. The first time I started dancing at home was a happy accident. I just had a terse conversation with an ex, and my body was reacting in an usual way, racing heart, quivering breath, and trembling fingers. I needed to calm down, looking around for quick fixes in my flat, my bed, some stale chocolate digestives, and a packet of cigarettes. I settled on the kitchen radio, which had been humming faintly in the background all morning. Tuned to BBC Radio 6 music, it was playing a disco track I didn't recognize, but the beat was steady and intermingled with sounds of tambourine, synths, and drum. I turned up the volume, and then my body was moving, limbs swinging, feet tapping, hips wiggling. I continued into the next song, leaning into the feeling and becoming more animated to the sounds of another upbeat 70s track, imagining myself on a crowded, sweaty dance floor. It was all very silly, but by the third song, my anxiety had melted away. I was smiling, and I felt more like myself again. To be clear, I cannot dance, not even a little bit. It's a running joke among my friends who have been ruthlessly mocking my moves for years. Unfortunately, the derision is deserved. I have no rhythm, and my hips are so wooden that they cannot help but tell this very sad truth. Still, I've always enjoyed dancing and have persisted at weddings, festivals, and parties. And since that day in my kitchen, I've realized it also calms me down. For me, anxiety has always manifested as an excess of energy. Depending on my underlying mood, it can be triggered by anything, from a misunderstanding with a friend or an unnerving work email, to a lost lipstick or a seen, quote-unquote, an ignored Instagram DM. I have other crutches, but they either aren't as healthy, sugar and cigarettes, or as accessible. Exercise is great, but not if I've already worked out that day. Dancing, though, is always available, and I've noticed that it works by taking my anxious energy and using it as fuel for movement. With the help of good music, that same frenetic feeling that makes my body shake with nerves can easily be transferred into a terrible dance move. If anything, the worse it is, the better, because then I start laughing at myself. Peter Frampton's Sweet Liberté introduces our rock music news. I'm bored to death of bands telling us they're bringing rock back. Rock never left, it just evolved. Rock is at its most exciting when it does something new, right? This is written by Lavia Thomas on October 19, 2025, in Louder. Is anyone else as bored as I am with bands telling us they're bringing back, quote-unquote, real rock? In a recent interview with NME, Gene Gallagher expressed that the indie mob have a genuine passion to bring rock music back. True rock fans will know that it hasn't gone anywhere, but this isn't the first time we're seeing this take. Last October, Youngblood told Guitar.com that rock is definitely coming back. Fast forward to April this year, and The Telegraph posted a story that claimed Youngblood was bringing back real rock music back from the dead. There's so much to unpack here. What's dead, exactly? Rock music has never been dead. If anything, it's never been more alive. There are so many great bands forming every week who are reinventing the wheel, challenging the boundaries of rock, and innovating subgenres within the heavy scene. Rock music never went anywhere. It just evolved. Experimentation is a gift. It shouldn't be something we fear or ignore. Look at recent releases from people like Native James or Sixth Wonder. All of these projects are, and more, are on the up, exploring different vessels within rock and sidestepping its rules. The idea that the music industry lacks real rock these days is nonsense, but mostly just mirrors ignorance. If anything, rock music has become a much more exciting space and environment since COVID. The global pandemic reflected a time of uncertainty and social change on a grand scale, and 2020 saw many rock artists bring out some of their most introspective and experimental projects. Take Nova Twins' Who Are the Girls, a genre-mashing powerhouse of a debut album providing us with angsty vocals and raw guitar shreds. Or Poppies, I Disagree, a collection of avant-garde, hyper-pop, metal, and alternative anthems. The idea that real rock has gone anywhere discredits the incredible music that continues to shape this space today, when artists boldly and repetitively announce how they want to, quote-unquote, bring back rock. They're blinding themselves to what's happening right in front of them. New bands that are reinventing the wheel and contributing to the forever evolving sphere of rock as we see it. Plus, let's be frank, more often than not, when people talk about bringing rock back, it's almost always tied around bands of four or five dudes playing the same old Arctic Monkeys-coded indie rock. It's never inventive, just a carbon copy of what we've seen before. It's like they're stuck in a time capsule. If you find yourself caring about the realness of a certain genre of music, maybe ask yourself what that actually looks like. While we owe it to the goats who paved the way for rock today, that doesn't mean we need to be stuck in the past. Bands can take influence from those original greats while reshaping the future authentically. The rock industry would be a very dull place if artists didn't experiment. Rock never died. Your perception of rock is maybe just outdated. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, what percent of U.S. orchestras have women music directors? Is it A, about 10%, B, about 33%, C, just over 50%, or D, almost 70%? Correct answer? Answer A, about 10%. As noted in an article by Peter Matthews titled A Word About Women Conductors, published on August 13, 2025, in feastofmusic.com. Despite increases in the number of women as musicians in symphony orchestras, the appearance of powerful maestras in films like Tar, in the real world, women conductors are still relatively rare. According to a 2023 report by the League of American Orchestras, only 1 in 9, about 11%, U.S. orchestras have women music directors. That number falls to 1 in 18, 5.5%, at larger orchestras. Currently, only one woman leads a top-tier U.S. orchestra, Natalie Stutzman, 60, music director of the Atlanta Symphony. She'll be joined in the fall by Zian Zhang, 52, who takes the reins at the Seattle Symphony. There has never been a woman director of any of the Big 5-7 orchestras in the U.S., nor at any of the leading orchestras of Europe. As guest conductors, women will lead approximately 22% of the concerts this season at the top 21 orchestras in the U.S., according to a recent study by the Women's Philharmonic Society, an improvement from a decade ago, but still far from the gender parity currently found within most orchestras. There are all sorts of reasons for this, most of them wrapped up in sexist stereotypes about women's ability to lead. Ironic, given that, as BBC Music Magazine points out, women are more likely to become the leader of a G7 nation or a four-star general than the conductor of a major American orchestra. An AI overview provides a couple of answers to the question, why the disparity? The biggest problem is that classical music has always been stubbornly resistant to change. With orchestra boards, which have always been majority men, and even the musicians themselves wanting to keep things sounding and looking just like they always have. That historical bias underscores the male conductors have dominated for centuries, and while blind auditions helped increase female musicians, leadership roles remain a challenge. Organizations like this NPR article and the La Maestra competition aim to create support systems, but progress is slow. In summary, while there's some progress, women are still significantly underrepresented in conducting, especially in the highest profile music director roles in top orchestras. And the answer to our second question, what is the last song that the Beatles recorded together? Was it A, Come Together, Was it B, I, me, mine? Was it C, let it be? Or was it D, hey Jude? As noted in onthisday.com, it was actually on this day, back in 1970, that I, Me, Mine was recorded by the Beatles, and it was the last song that the band would record together. Correct answer, therefore, is answer B, I, Me, Mine. As noted in an AI overview, the song The End, from August 1969, was the final time John, Paul, George, and Ringo all played and recorded together on a new track, culminating in the famous drum solo and guitar exchange. The song I Want You, She's So Heavy, from August 20th, 1969, was the final studio date where all four were present, although the session focused on final mixing and editing for the Abbey Road album rather than new recording. The song I, Me, Mine from January 1970 was the actual last song recorded by any combination of the Beatles, but only featuring Paul, George, and Ringo as John was absent. And the song Now and Then from 2023, which was billed as the quote-unquote last Beatles song, this track uses a 1970s John Lennon demo with AI separating his vocals and new contributions from Paul, George, and Ringo. So, let's close out today's program with the Beatles' last recording together, I, Me, Mine. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or Brint impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.